All right, good singing all the way around. Let me see if this button here works. How's that? That it? Good. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there. And as we look there in chapter number 27 of the book of Matthew, verse 1. If you're able to stand, then do so while we look there for a moment. The Bible said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him into Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, whenever he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went, and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for to put it in the treasury, because that it is the price of blood. And they took counsel, and they bought with them the potter's field and to bury strangers in. And wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. And then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. Now Jeremiah spoke it, but it's recorded and written down by Zechariah. And he took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom that they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for this being the resurrected day, that Jesus not only bowed his head, gave up the ghost, laid down his life, but he was able to raise it back up again. We thank you, Lord, that he's won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave, that whosoever will may come unto him and to be born again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning on what a way to spend the morning. I mean, before they crucified the Lord and Savior, made a mockery of him, smote him with the palms of their hands and had some reeds in their hand, they smote him and beat him with that. And they spat upon him, they platted a crown of thorns and they put it upon the Savior's head, and then they mocked and made fun of him and ridiculed him. I want to say that, if you will, please, is that it's a manifestation of the most depraved creatures of humanity. Make no mistake about it, you're going to find from big shot leaders to religious people to political leaders that all counsel together. You know what their problem is? Jesus is in their way. Do you know that Jesus is still in the way? If you don't believe that, just listen to the news every now and again a little bit. And people are riding all up and down the road of life. They hate God, the Bible, everything that's good and right, moral, and decent. But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung on a cross, and he hung there, and he paid for a debt that he did not own. He bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and was buried in a tomb. And then on the third day, the first day of the week, by the way, on the first day of the week, is that 3 days after that he had been crucified, he rose again. He laid his life down. Now he's raising it back up. And he won victory over death and over hell and over the grave, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. Now, I don't know if I believe in Jesus as strong as you do. Do you think I believe enough to be able to get me to heaven? Let me just tell you how it is. It's not Jesus Christ plus nothing or minus nothing. It's not Jesus Christ plus a baptism, Jesus Christ plus good works. It's Jesus Christ and him alone that can save your soul. Now, when God gives you unfailing faith, buddy, there'll be no yes, no ands, no buts, no maybes about it. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out the world is all wrapped up this morning in baskets and bunnies and big old eggs. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, that the only time the word Easter is mentioned over in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 4, is that the only time that it's mentioned there because that a fellow by the name of James and Peter had been locked up, and they'd already killed James. And let me say to you that if you've got a modern day version of the Bible over there. They've changed the word Easter and they've marked it out and they've made the word Passover. And that's not true. The Passover had already taken place 3 days before. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that while there was a ruler of the Jews that was not there by lineage, but because of popularity of heathen men and women and boys and girls that didn't care nothing about the Lord, as a result of that, they had a pagan holiday that was called Easter. Now, I don't want to beat you up about it in case government gave you a holiday. I don't want to beat you up unless you're trying to keep, you know, in step with your family. And by the way, I remember when some of you got saved and began to learn about the paganism of Easter that's in the world that we're living in. Do you realize, though, that this morning that the average Baptist, I know more about Baptists than anybody, and I know plenty about others, but do you realize, though, the average Baptist is preaching and teaching a lie to their congregation? They have to be able to keep them. Well, I'm going to give you an illustration there. Do you realize that all the Easter egg be one thing that if it was from a hen, but it's a rabbit laying eggs. Did anybody bring an egg-laying rabbit this morning just so we could see it? Huh? I'm just telling you right now, that's a lie. And make no mistake about it, the world will want to persecute you. Some of you got family now. Some of you act like you don't want to talk to me now. Loosen up a little bit. I mean, my words, you want me to lay an egg or something? Well, I can't do it no more than a rabbit can. In this lesson that you're looking at, that's paganism that we're talking about. I don't have time to dive into it and tell you where it came from, so forth and on, but it comes from an ancient Babylonian practice way back when, and make no mistake about it, it has no connection whatsoever with the Lord Jesus Christ, or good or right or moral or decent. It has nothing to do with any of that. And so do you want to involve in that? Well, if you do, knock yourself out, but don't get mad at me for telling you the truth about it. You ought to at least know what you're involved in. You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at over there in the book of Job, and I'm glad that Miss Deanna put that Job in chapter number 19. I'm glad she put that in the bulletin, and because I thought, well, you know what, there's a passage there that I ought to be using here this morning. In chapter number 19 in the book of Job, in verse number 25, and here's what Job said. Now watch this here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. I'm going to tell you, Jesus hadn't even been born yet, but I can tell you the promise of him. Job said, I know that he, my Redeemer, liveth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God. He believed in the resurrection. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, and though my reins be consumed within me. I want to tell you right now is that I hope you've got God-given faith like that. Those gals were singing, that group was singing there with Brother Nathan. While you look at a passage over in the book of Mark this morning in chapter number 16. But anyhow, they were singing that passage. And they were singing about the Lord and about what God had done. And as a result of that, my faith is not dead. My faith is very much alive. Job's faith was very much alive. Do you realize, though, that if you will, please, is that I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that while they spent the mornings, a few mornings earlier, planning and plotting to be able to kill Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that they finally sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, Judas Iscariot did. And all the big wigs of that day that were counselors and religious leaders and people, what they wanted to do was they wanted to get rid of the message of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that, if you will, their plan and God's plan is miles apart. In this lesson that we're looking at in the book of Mark chapter 16, look in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. In other words, they've come very early in the morning, verse 2 says, and it's the first day of the week. Now, you know what the first day of the week is? Well, it's today. Sunday is that day, the first day of the week. And they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I've been saying for years, I want to keep saying it, that while the S-U-N was coming up, the S-O-N had already gotten up. And what did they, the Bible said, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And they looked, they and saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting upon the right side, clothed in a long white raiment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. And behold, the place where they lay him. And then they were instructed to go and tell his disciples. I want to say to you that, if you will, that every time that it's sunrise morning, that it's the resurrection morning, I want to bless the Lord and thank God that not only did he lay down his life, he raised it back up again. He won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave, stripped off the imps of hell that tried to keep him from resurrecting, and proved openly and made a show of them openly, the Bible says, over in the book of Colossians. And the Bible said that as they tried to hold him down, he was able to strip them, and he won victory over death and over hell and over the grave on that day. The reason why you and I are being able to get born again into the family of God is because of the victory that's ours to be had by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. Now, why wouldn't you want to serve a Savior like that? I want to tell you, there's a lot of people going to hell with an Easter basket full of eggs. And that's as far as their religion goes. And you know, I've got a lot of people that I've known down through the years. I've pastored them. I mean, I've been doing this thing for several days now. And I've got a lot of people up and down the road of life. I can promise you right now, quit coming to church where I was at, because they didn't want to hear that Easter message. They didn't want to hear nothing about the resurrected Savior that was in contrast to their bunny rabbit egg layers. I've been challenging them for 50-something years. I want you to bring, if you've got a rabbit that'll lay an egg, I want you to bring that sucker and let's let him lay one in church. See? Somebody got mad at one of the members, you know, and they told him, and he got mad and trying to defend the Lord. Told him, well, go suck an egg then, you know. Yeah. Well, you can suck one if you want to. That ain't going to help you. I got to say that when you begin to look into this, is that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is again. He is God incarnate in human flesh. And they were plotting against him on a very heavy resistance, and they wanted to crucify him. Do you realize they had the choice back then? They had a choice between Barabbas, who was a thief, who was a murderer, who was a robber. And they had the choice between that person and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate said, I can't find anything that Jesus Christ has done. I find nothing. And all that. They said, crucify him. And then finally he puts the choice. He said, well, here's Barabbas. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a robber. Shall I let him go or shall I let Jesus? And they cried out, crucify Jesus Christ. Let his blood be upon us. Now I want to tell you something, mama and daddy and boys and girls, young men, young ladies. Your choice is the same as it was then. And you're either going to have to receive Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, or you're going to have to go ahead with a religious, lost, murdering, thieving world. You say, how do you think the religious world's a thief? They're trying to rob what only Jesus Christ can do for you. Now, do you realize and know that the life and death is in the power of the tongue? If you'll call upon his name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know how many times God's knocked on your heart to draw you down to an old-fashioned altar and let you get your life altered by the grace of God? And maybe you got down to the altar and chickened out and laid an egg. It won't help you if you can lay all of them. I drove by a couple of places this morning. Now, talk about some dedicated bunny, Easter bunny people. And they had, you know, those big bales of hay that are that big around. What is that, about 30 bales normal? Anyhow, big bells, and they had them all decorated and painted up like big eggs out there. And I thought, now, buddy, there's a dedicated group right there. Well, I'm going to tell you right now is I'm not against you going ahead and living your imagination. And I'm not there going to mess with Santa Claus. You're already wanting to butcher me and putting me straight into hell, and I'm going to heaven. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. I remember I had a church over in Louisiana. And of course, I just was new there. And there I am, you know, they had a choir and had everything and all that and people back there. And as I was up there getting ready to preach, I told them, it was only egg hunt that we ever allowed, and they already had that scheduled, and I knew that it was going to do more harm than good. Anyhow, whenever I announced that after the service for the kiddos, and somebody out of the choir, of course, we had a bunny rabbit woman dressed in a bunny rabbit suit sitting in the choir. And I'm telling you the truth is, I thought to myself, well, they don't need me selling out to this crowd. And so as a result of it, somebody said, hey, preacher, we're going to have that egg hunt for these kids during church. I said, well, sir, we're not going to be having that this morning. God doesn't care if you have an egg hunt ever again. In fact, is you're going to have to violate the word of the Lord to be able to do that. Do you know it didn't make me popular? Somebody walked up and said, well, there's no need me telling you that I dress up like Santa Claus whenever it's Christmas time. I said, no, probably not. It's probably not going to do any good to tell me that. Now, I'm going to say to you rightly, it's more fun. But make no mistake, in the Bible, it's not a biblical manner, and you ought to at least know what you're doing. In this Bible lesson here, they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they bound him. There's the Word of God incarnate in human flesh. They've bound the Word, but they bound him as a person, but you can't bind the Word of the Lord. It'll keep on going. Now Judas is smitten under conviction. And he goes in, he knows he's wrong, and he goes again and throws down the 30 pieces of silver. And because he repented himself, he didn't repent to God. He went out and hanged himself. And as a result of that, he died without hope, without God. Here's a man that heard faultless preaching. He used to listen to the Lord Jesus and his other comrades and apostles and people. And here's a man that died having heard a perfect preacher named the Lord Jesus Christ and died and went to hell. He kissed the door of heaven, by the way, died and went to hell. Here you are this morning and you're thinking, you know, preacher, something's radically wrong in my heart and life. I've lived this long and I've been everything I could be except saved. I've not gotten saved. Somehow or another, I've gotten disturbed and close and I just backed up and couldn't utter the words. I want to tell you, they said to Judas when he brought back the pieces of silver to throw back down, they said, what is that to us? Well, they didn't even care. Do you realize, though, that when you begin to look into the Bible, is that we're in the prophecy being fulfilled that was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet and that was recorded by Zechariah. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that they knew and preached way beforehand that Jesus Christ would die on the cross and be able to give up the ghost and lay down his life and then resurrect again on the first day of the week. Sometimes somebody asked me and said, well, now, why is it y'all are meeting together on the first day of the week? There's a group called the Seventh-day Adventists. I call them Seventh-day Disadvantage. And the reason why they still meet on Saturday, they don't recognize that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in changing it. Somebody said, how come y'all are meeting on the first day of the week, which is Sunday? This is the first day. How come y'all don't meet on Saturday instead of Sunday? And I always tell them, a Jew changed it. You know what his name was? Jesus Christ. And we don't take time to turn to all the scriptures because that I know you've got a lot of places to go and a lot of things to do, and you'll be hungry here in a minute. But I want to say to you that whenever we look into the Bible and recognize it, if you were back over there, where was it? About Leviticus and about chapter number 23, whenever he told us is that he was going to change it and that the resurrected day would be the first day of the week. Not Saturday anymore. Now it's going to be the first day of the week. And so let me say to you the reason why Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week is because he'd already been prophesying that it was going to happen, and that from now on the church of the living God was going to be meeting the first day of the week. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a lot of folks say, well, I don't know if I agree with that or not. Well, take it up with he that wrote the Bible. See, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that they accused him falsely. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They spat upon him. And I want to tell you something, what a sad day that it was for them to desire a murderer than they'd rather have a murderer than the master to be able to wash away their sins. I want to say to you that in this world that we're living in, is that the Bible says in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44, the Bible said that that Judas Iscariot and people like that, the Bible said the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not of the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. But in the book of John, St. John chapter number 8, verse number 47, the Bible says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, one of these days, you are going to run upon somebody, and it won't matter how much Bible you've shown them, they're just going to refuse to receive it. And the Bible says there, and you just repent, you just depend upon that passage of Scripture. If they were of God, they would hear what God said in the Word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. I want to get ready to close here this morning, that if we might. And I want you to look over there in the book of Matthew and chapter number 28. And fact is, we read it out of the book of Mark, so I'll just close out with that passage and the same incident, the same record. But I just want to remind you that the Sabbath was passed. That's a Saturday. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and they had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, you know what they were doing? They were looking for a Jesus that was still dead. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. I was listening years ago, and I've heard many people preaching on the radio and preaching about this subject and preaching about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And somebody said, well, you know, the angel rolled the stone back so that Jesus could get out. Not true. That's not true. Jesus Christ could walk through that stone just like it was not there. He walked through those buildings. So it wasn't so Jesus could get out. It was so those women could be able to get in. That's the reason. That's a pretty good sized stone. And as a result of that, you'll find that the tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled back. And let me tell you right now is that sort of like the little black boy that was in the play. I've been saying it for years because it's just a true thing. They were going to have a resurrection play. And they said, now listen, we want you, young man, whenever they come, and we've got Mary and Martha, and they're going to be coming, and some Peter and John, they're going to be finally coming. But whenever they get here, your job, sitting as the angel at the foot of the stone or the head, wherever he's going to, is to say, I know whom you seek. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen. And so he said, I can do that. So they rehearsed it and rehearsed it and rehearsed it. And that morning, buddy, on that resurrection morning, they had the play. And as the stone was rolled back, he took his place. And when Mary and those other people and followers came, walked in, they looked. He got nervous and scared on his part. And he looked at them and he said, I know who y'all looking for. You're looking for Jesus, but he ain't here. He done left out. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he left out. I don't serve a dead Jesus. I don't serve a dead faith. I serve a Lord and Savior who died on the cross, laid down his life, and was buried in a tomb, and raised his life back up again. No man took it from him. He laid it down and he raised it up, that whosoever may come unto him and be born again into the family of God. I wonder, young man, do you know the Lord this morning? Have you confessed him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart and save your soul? Have you followed him in baptism? Have you obeyed the word of the Lord? This would be a good time, if you've not, to be able to do so. I wonder, while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, our musicians are coming. You may be here this morning and say, preacher, God's been knocking on my heart, and I'm ready to submit my heart and my life unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever the need is, thou knowest. And I pray your blessings, dear God, upon this. Now, Lord, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, and set the captives free as our hearts desire and prayer unto thee. Lord, is there a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs Christ? May you pound heavily upon their heart's door. And may they come as an empty-handed beggar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?